Welcome to Tech for Tech's Tech Talk. This is a live show where we help your IT business grow. I'm Phil Griffiths and this is...
I'm Jenny. I'm his boss.
Yep, that's it. What are we talking about today, Jen?
I have it the foggiest.
Aren't we? Oh, yeah. we should have someone else on the show who's running a little bit late at the moment. So if you guys want to complain to him and make sure you have a go at him when he actually does log in. His name's Ken. He'll be on in a few minutes. But in the meantime, let's just quickly go through chat. So, guys, if you are watching, I can see you watching. So can you let us know if you can hear us, you can see us, and there's no issues and so forth. If your name does come up on the chat as Facebook user, just like the person who says, evening, guys, click the link I put in chat a few seconds ago, which says chat.restream.io/FB. That will allow your name to be shown. Or if you don't want to click that link for whatever reason, just put your name after your comment so we know who we're responding to and we're not just calling your Facebook user all night. Okay.
Unless they want to be a stalker, you know.
That's true. So Facebook user saying evening. We've got William saying watching, can hear you. That's good. Can you see us though, William? That's the big thing. And then again, do you really want to see us is another question. Yeah. And then you've got Richard, and he's saying you can hear me as well. So it looks like we've got something working at least anyway. So let's start off with Ken, who's not here. So Ken will be on in a few minutes. He's running late. He's stuck in some traffic, fog or something or other. Some excuse not to be on anyway, but hopefully he'll be here in a few minutes. But before we go over to Ken, so we'll introduce him when he does actually come on, we'll say hello to Kelly. Kelly, if you want to introduce yourself, just let everyone know who exactly you are. Because obviously no one's seen you on the show before, so obviously feel free to introduce yourself, the company you work for, and what you do.
Evening, fresh blood over here, Phil.
That's it.
From Northern Skills, part of Middlesbrough College Group, and I deal with the apprenticeships in IT and digital across UK, actually, on some of them, and predominantly in Teesside, Newcastle as well.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. And just good timing as well. You know that person we've been saying who's been slacking and is late and everything? He's just logged in. So here he is. So let me position you around. So I'll put you next on the left there. So welcome, Ken. Yeah. You're famously late again.
I know. Apologies. The weather up in rural Northumberland is not the best. And I've been stuck behind a driver doing 20 mile an hour.
Well, if you were in Wales, that would be okay.
Well, it would be, but anyway, never mind.
But there we go. Well, Ken, if you want to introduce yourself, let everyone know who you are, what you do, and so forth. You know the drill. You don't need any tips or stories today.
Oh, good, good. I'm Ken from Canny Clever. Have a shop in lovely Whitley Bay, although it was a bit windy and wet today, so I might start a sideline with rubber ducks and armbands.
Good idea. Some hats probably do you as well, an umbrella.
Yeah.
So next we've got Thomas. So Thomas, let us know who you are and let us know why you're on the show tonight and why Ken has actually dragged you on and if you believe he's actually going to pay you any overtime or not for doing this.
I'm Thomas. I work for Ken at Canny Clever in, not so sunny Whitley Bay. And he's brought us on tonight because I'm obviously younger, and we're trying to introduce the idea of newer people in the tech industry.
So in basics, what you're trying to say is Ken is old.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I've been told much worse.
I have a feeling Thomas is going to be looking for a new job tomorrow. Here we go. Right, okay, so let me quickly go back to chat. So, we've got Dan saying, let's try again. Evening, guys. Hi, Dan. We've got John Merritt as well. Howdy, John. We've got Blue Vault PC. And we've got Cormy in Ireland. So, hi, Cormac. How you doing? So, thank you guys for tuning in. So, today's show, we're talking about getting new blood into IT. So, getting little ones, shall we say, like Thomas, into, obviously, the technology trade. Before we do that, Jen's going to go through her news or what we've been up to this week.
Yeah.
And then I'll go through a few things about TechMax because we've got some developments there for you to know about.
It's not exactly news. It's just something
Well, I found it exciting. I have been ordering from the company Overclockers for many a year, even before I got into the trade as such. And Case King and Overclockers, they operate out of the same building. And so we got to go up and tour Overclockers / Case King.
Yeah, and mainly Case King.
Yeah, and I'm here to tell you, if you're a geek, that is geek heaven. You get to go, if you ever go in the warehouse, 6 pallets high of lovely geekdom, chairs, PC cases, you name it, is stacked up to like the rafters. And then you look back towards where we were standing, and on these smaller shelves, graphics cards, motherboards. So they were easily in reach where they wouldn't be drop, bump, banged, and things like that. It was just, you looked in there, you expected lights to come down from the heavens. La!
We'll actually have an article and pictures going live soon on that. We're just waiting for them to get back to us with approval for the pictures. For obvious things, when you go to these big companies, multi-million, billion-pound companies, got security risks and stuff, obviously taking pictures of warehouses. They don't want all the burglars knowing where to keep all the graphics cards and stuff like that and how to get to them.
Yeah.
So they have to approve stuff like pictures and stuff first before we actually publish them.
Yeah. But as I was saying, Dean Shaw and a lovely man named Stephen in business development took us on a tour around that. And not only did we get to see the warehouse, we got to see rooms that I really didn't know that they had. There's a room for cutting plastic. And they've made some coasters and things for their own personal use out of plastic in there. And they had done their own signage, they said.
Yeah, the printed on the back of chairs.
Yeah,
and stuff like
that. No, that was another room.
Mm-hmm.
That was another room for the printing on the back of the chair. Yeah. But you can get your computer chair customized. Like, let's just say this red chair being red and black. If you were a Sheffield fan, you could get like your favorite player's name on the back or something like that.
Or logo.
Or something like that. They could do it, and I was not aware that that could be done. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. And the lovely Steve Ling, the executive director, we went out with him and Dean and Stephen in business development, and Lee Williamson and Keith Bowen. They are senior account managers. And they took us to lunch at this place called Slamwich. And I'm here to tell you, Slamwich, I was expecting a sandwich. But the description, it's not a sandwich. It's 2 pieces of bread with stuff in between. But they brought it out to me and it was stacked up like this.
Yeah, they've slammed it full of food, basically.
And it was huge. I just looked at it. I was like, oh, my God. And Dean and Phil had milkshakes. And those were, I tasted his. Oh, that was awesome. So they treated us right. It was a wonderful time had by all. And in case you didn't know, Case King is going to be one of our sponsors as well at Tech Max. So give it up for them on that.
Yeah, that's it. Guys, sorry if you heard a bit of clicking in the background. I think it's Thomas playing some games in the background. He's playing on his keyboard.
I'm trying to delete all my tabs. I've got so many.
Oh, I thought you were on about your browser history then for some reason, but okay, I'll let you off. Right. That's embarrassing. Okay. So let me get onto the Tech Max news, then we'll get onto the main topic and get back to the chat. So Tech Max, if you don't know, is on 21st of June next year, so that's 2024. before. It's a trade show, lots of vendors and stuff. If you haven't been before, check out the website. I'll put a link on the screen. I'll also put a link for Kelly on in a second. I'm not sure if it actually went up when I asked it to a few minutes ago, but I'll put that on in a few seconds. But TechMac website is on the screen at the moment, which is tftmax.com. Now, we do have some news. So we have got some influencers signed up who will be attending, as well as media companies. We've got PCR, which do the PCR awards down in London every year, do a magazine and stuff. We've also got Kit Guru signed up as well. So if any of you guys know of Kit Guru, you've seen their reviews and stuff online. They do quite a lot. They are actually going to be attending and covering the event, as well as doing a talk at the event as well. They do like a yearly survey of 20,000 different, I think it's stores and so forth, where they basically get all the survey results together and show you what the trends are, how much basically RAM people are having, to what graphics cards are having, all the way to what customers are wanting and how much you're even spending every year. So I think that'd be an interesting talk for people to attend. Again, the talks are all in with the show, so they're free for you to go and see, with the event just costing a quid to go. So E-Technics are on the list. If you've got a contact for them, Welshy Tech, who's just commented, obviously tell them to get in touch. Details are on the screen, so or you can let us know what their details are and we'll contact them. But if they're interested, then we're happy to have them. So that's the basis to that. Also, main sponsors you may have seen already, Case King, which Jen just spoke about, is going to be the main sponsor of the event. Aerocool is going to be sponsoring the lunchtime meal, which means food and everything is obviously included in the lunchtime. And Strong is sponsoring the awards. If you don't know Strong, they do networking stuff. I think their stuff is available at VIP computers, and they do a lot of networking stuff. They're actually sponsoring the awards this year, so it makes the awards possible. And I think Ken's won a few awards in the past, so he'll know exactly how important those are. We also have a couple others signed up. Let me just put the screen on so you can see the actual website while I'm going through it. So you can see the TechMax website there. I'll just put it on full screen. Just get rid of chat in the set for a second, guys. I'll bring that back up in a few secs so everyone can see. Right, so we've got the TechMax website here, a bit of information about it. You can see information about the sponsors, a few videos about last year's event and this year's, the agenda, as well as talks, presentations. So as we can see, we've got the Kit Guru one already set up here. So you can obviously read about that if you want. And information, testimonials. We've got the exhibitors. So we've got TechPoint, EDAR, ReplaceBase, Aerocool, Case King, Strong, Streamplify, Ducky, ThunderX3, ISL Online, ALM Wholesale, VIP Computers, and Recycle Your Tech. Again, it's early days yet, so there's going to be a hell of a lot more on there. If you didn't go to last year's event, you've got, I don't know if you can see that too well in the center of the screen. It's enlarged. Gives you an idea of all the brands what attended last year, all the way from NZXT, MSI, Be Quiet, Cooler Master, and so forth. And most of them, if not all of them, will be more than likely attending this year as well, obviously.
The thing is, we don't put their names down until they've paid the bill.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, they could be very well signed up already, and they're just not on the website for that reason.
That's
and if you're not signed up with me, you need to. And that's very easy to do. You just either email me at info@techfortex.co.uk. If you have my own personal email, that's fine too. Email me there. And most of you have my phone number. So, or my Skype. I'm very easy to find. There's no excuse not to get in touch with me. So get in touch with me. Let's get you booked into Tech Max. You'll be glad you did.
There we go. Right. Okay, let's go on to chat and then on to the main subject. I put the chat back on the side. Don't worry, I've got all your stuff, what you've asked beforehand. So Welshy Tech says, I know Andy at E-Technics, so we'll ask him to get in touch. So thank you. William says, here we go. Nice to know the food and drink stealing happens to us all, and it's not just me. What was that regarding?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm hoping he's replying to someone else anyway. So there we go. We've got Computer Buddies in Hull saying hello. We've also got Welshy Tech saying he's been ordering from Overclocker since 2010. Which is good. Another Facebook user saying hello as well and giving us a wave. Again, Facebook users, if you haven't already, I'm going to put it in chat again. Click the link I put in chat. You can see it on the screen at the moment. It's chat.restream.io/FB. It allows your name to be shown and you don't just come up as a Facebook user. So hopefully we should be able to get that sorted, or just reply with your name afterwards if you for some reason can't click the link, for whatever reason that may
that
be.
That really stresses you out, doesn't it?
It does, because I like to know who I'm talking to. Because you could have five Facebook users or five different people coming up as Facebook user. You think it's the same person how you're having the conversation with, and it's actually five different people, or the opposite way around. So
it doesn't bother me because I'm the person that talks to myself throughout the day. Well, I have conversations with myself. I mean,
I think that is for a different type of show, that conversation, Jen. So definitely not for getting new blood into the industry.
No, that's what the after effect of being in the industry.
There we go. Yes. Right. Let's get on to the main subject then. So, okay, new blood into IT. I'm going to go to Ken first because this was his idea. He wanted to talk to it. So he can actually tell us why we're all here today.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose being in the industry for a while, I wasn't seeing many new faces coming through, particularly younger people. And once we all leave the industry, we're going to be left with curries. And I don't fancy a world with only curries in it. We need people who can fix things hands-on. While there is people coming into IT, they all seem to want to go to programming, coding, esports. I don't seem to see many who actually want to get their hands inside computers and make the things work in the first place. I think most people are happy just to throw them away, buy new ones, which obviously we can help them with as well. But I think getting the kids involved, we've had issues recruiting ourselves. I think most people in the industry have. So we decided to start a little bit earlier than most. We started with the work experience. This year, we've got more than 60 odd placements this year. Out of those, I think there's about six of them expressed an interest in coming on as a Saturday lad. I think Thomas is one of those. Thomas has already expressed an interest in going on to the next stage, which is the apprenticeship next year, which is where Kelly comes in, because we obviously need somebody to run the apprenticeship for her. While we can do most of the training, we do need the out of workplace element, which is the thing that is organized by the college, or Northern Skills Group, as I should call them. But it's starting to bear fruit. We're starting to get more people coming in now. We're starting to get more people through for the interviews and things. So it's obviously working, but we find a lot of our older customers as well, they do relate to the younger kids in the shop. They don't want to see some middle-aged bloke like myself behind the counter. They'd rather speak to somebody that they think is their grandson or something similar. We find it seems to work. So we need more kids in the business. Good.
Yeah, I was going to say it's one of those things a lot of people think that kids know more about technology than older people, shall we say.
In a way it's true. Mm-hmm. Because, and I'll give you a for instance, my nephew, who is now 10, he would have been 8 at the time that we were in America. He says, "Dad, I want to go on the internet." And he says, "Nope, you're not allowed on the internet. You're not allowed on it." He says, "Well, Dad, I hope you know this. The TV is the internet." And my brother just sat back and he had this "I've been had" look on his face, like, "Well, he got me, you know." Yeah, I wouldn't be scared to say that that little fella knows more than my brother about computers mm-hmm. any day of the week.
That's it. And the latest technologies and so forth, it's going to be the case. And it was the same when we were younger, we knew about stuff what our parents didn't know and stuff like that. So it's one of those things. Trying to keep up with stuff is not easy as you get older. Brain cells die, and it's easier to forget than it is to learn, I think, sometimes.
I'll never forget being the one teaching the family. I had to write out an instruction manual for the family on how to use the VCR correctly.
Right.
They had the instruction manual that came with it, but I had to do a family guide. Step one, take the tape out of the box.
That's it. Right, let's move on slightly then. So again, guys, if you've got any questions for anyone who's on today, so either Kelly from Northern Skills Group or Ken or Thomas from Canny Clever, feel free. Or if you've got any for us, if you really want to, you probably know all our opinions by now anyway. But if you want to ask, feel free. So let's go on to Kelly then. So where do we start? So I suppose at the beginning. So what's the advantages of taking these young'uns on then?
It brings a bit of life to the business, which is what a lot of employees tell me. They kind of bring a new outlook into it. They change things without even realizing, and it makes the business run a load smoother. And that's just from recent as well. The younger generation that I work with, because the amount of people I put in apprenticeships who are of all ages, but the people who are leaving school 16 to 18, they are bringing new projects, new outlooks, new parts of the business, and they're growing them as well. Because people of other ages, like older people who've had these companies for a long time, they don't realise actually you can stem into that because they're so stuck in their ways. They go to work on a morning, they do the things that they're supposed to do. They're so snowed under with everything else that they forget that the likes of Thomas could go in and pick up that, and it's quite easy. But then also they're finding potentially like an easier route to complete it, and also bringing a new service to the company as well.
Yeah, some definitely valid points there, and good points. Yeah,
I suppose having someone like Thomas on the board with you is a fresh set of eyes. You know, when you're ordering, when you're putting that order through to your distie, you could ask Thomas his opinion on what he thinks, you know, and he could tell you, well, Mr. Ken, that looks good there, or I think you could do better there with this particular one, and it would be more appealing. So,
exactly.
Yeah, and he's going to know more what his age group's into than we are.
Yeah, we can only guess, you know, but it never hurts to have someone that can tell you an honest opinion of someone that age.
So what would the process be if someone did want someone like an apprentice on? For example, Blue Bolt's asking, how does it work with insurance and stuff like that? I think people just don't know the basics at all, how to get someone on an apprentice. So if you can just run us through the basics.
Yeah, of course. So you do have two different parts. One's work experience, so they do need that to complete any college course, or even schools, they also do a week or two work experience. Is that where you had quite a lot of learners from, Ken, school?
Yeah, we had, this year we had, I think it was 65 placements in total, some of which came to TechMax, some went to the Target event. So I think people will be sick of the blue jackets running around these places. It's the only way we can keep track. Then I think for those 65 placements we said we could do with the local schools, I think we had 280-odd applicants.
Yeah.
Not one of them also, but, you know, that's another topic in itself.
Ken, at Target, you guys were described as the blue stormtroopers.
I've been called much worse. Much worse.
I thought it was pretty cool. They said it looked like a bunch of blue stormtroopers coming through there, and I wanted to play the theme to Star Wars.
That's it. Let me just quickly go to chat. E-Technics, hi, E-Technics, for logging in and watching. If you guys wouldn't mind just sending us an email over, I'll type it into chat in a second. That would be brilliant, because we'd love to have you along at our event, along with guys like Kit Guru, PCR, and so forth. We've already got signed up. Again, we can talk about that, have a meeting, and so forth. So, and thank you, Welshy Tech, for obviously putting us in contact.
Yes.
Go back to it. So, one of the things, obviously, asking about is that how does the insurance work with it?
Well, ours, our work experience kids and the apprentices are covered on our normal employees' liability insurance. As long as we've told the insurance company, they're more than happy to cover them as a normal employee. They're actually as an employee for the purposes of insurance. So as long as you've got employers' liability and public liability in place, you'll be fine. Which I think if Kelly goes into what she does, you'll find that Kelly harasses me once in a while to get a copy of her certificates and all the rest of it, just to make sure that we are complying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously you don't want to start letting kids go and work anywhere, do you, I suppose? I'm calling them kids, adults, but compared to us.
Yeah. People think it is just 16 to 18, but they are offered up to retirement age because they're not just used to bring a new person within the company. You can actually upskill a member of staff with them as well. So you might have had somebody working within the company for 15 years, but they've never had that qualification. And, you know, the company is, they've got some funding there, they're happy to release them 2-day release, and they can have a certificate for that. They would just do the qualification alongside their own contract.
Okay, that's definitely good to know. Yes, sorry, I've just moved the QR code off my face so everyone can actually see me now. Definitely a good thing there. One thing what we were talking about before the show was about women in tech. Do you get much in the way of obviously females actually wanting to get into this sort of industry? I suppose that goes to Ken as well as Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, our experience over the last 4, 5, 6 years. Out of all the applicants I've had, I think there's been 2 women. We did hire 1 woman, and I had to go through the process of getting the toilets all organized and all that kind of thing, which we did quite happily. And then she left after a week. We did ask for honest feedback because I was concerned that we'd done something wrong or that there was something negative, but it was her, not us, apparently.
So what about yourself, Kelly? Do you find that there's many women wanting to get into this industry, or do you know what's holding them back?
So there's been a few times when I predominantly speak with employers. Not very, very rarely I'll speak to students. We'll have the vast majority of students coming in for opening events. They'll come from school. And then we'll also have tables set out with, you know, different sectors. And there's been a couple of times now where I have actually been asked to go into the students and go and speak to them. And the IT and digital table is empty. Nobody's ever interested. It's always your motor vehicle, your engineering. But when I will then go and speak to them rather than wait for them to come to me. And it's understanding. Nobody actually understands. So for 16 to 18-year-old, I'll put it into something that they are actually interested in. So at this age now, they're interested in YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram. So the second you start speaking along those terms for that, they're engaging with you straight away. Mm-hmm. And the last opening event, we had about 10 candidates for IT and digital, and they were female because they didn't understand that. They were unaware, and they're always it's quite hard because sometimes when you are speaking to the younger generation and somebody is so knowledgeable within IT and digital, they're kind of like taken aback by it. It's kind of just stripping it right back down to basics and going from what they learned as, you know, when you first got into business. Go right back to the beginning and start off with the basics. Show them actually it can be fun rather than overwhelming. And it did work. Just speaking to them, I don't know, Thomas, what are you interested in gaming? Like, my son's 15 and he's got a gaming PC. I wouldn't have a clue the ins and outs about it, but you just have to speak in their lingo, if you like, and they become engaged. And it has worked really well. So we're going to go ahead with that to hopefully generate more candidates, but that is for different sectors. We have 13 qualifications, so then you've got to speak to them in 13 different ways. It's quite difficult.
What got me to build my first computer, I've told this one before, I've always been somebody that loved a good dare. I really have. I mean, I lived for it, and coming from where I do, you'd understand that. So they said, you can't be a geek unless you build your own computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, by golly, where do we get the parts? You know, I said, let's ante it up. Let's do this. And it was the, excuse me for saying so, hold my beer moment. that you do. And yeah, I did it. I did it on a dare. Did I expect it to even boot up? No, not really, because I didn't know the first thing about building a computer. But it was just very logical when I got all the parts before me. It looked like a jigsaw puzzle. And it was like, well, there's only one logical place where the processor can go. There's only one logical place where I can put the memory. I mean, let's be honest, in this time period, we didn't have water coolers at that time. It was just very basic CPU heat sink fans and stuff like that. So my first build, I was just really very basic. And I put it together and everything, and it did boot up. It didn't boot up correctly, but it, we got power. And I finally figured out that I needed to adjust something and everything, and then we got it to lift off. But it was just the challenge. It was the challenge. Okay, put a challenge before me. Let's see what I can do. And I did it. And then I just became addicted to it after that. So I think sometimes maybe getting girls into IT might be that simple. Just give them a small challenge. Put something before them and say, look, what do you think you can do with this? And you might get them interested. You know, you got pretty parts now. We didn't have pretty parts back in the day. Girls love lights, you know, and things like that. So, yeah, I think if we had a chance to let them do a build their own PC day or something like that, they might get interested.
Okay, let's go on to chat. Let's have a look. We've got William talking about STEM by the looks of it. Yeah, we've got involved in STEM events, which have been really good in promoting the tech world to the future generations. Maybe look for STEM events in your area and offer to get involved. I'm not familiar with STEM. Are you, Kelly or Ken?
So our building is actually called STEM, but I'm hoping it's the same one. It's just science, technology, engineering, and maths, our building. So whether that's different to what that comment means, I'm not too sure.
Okay. Well, William, if you want to clarify on that one, feel free. He also commented and said, we've also had some students who wanted to build their own PCs as part of the Duke of Edinburgh course. We have assisted them with that. So that sounds nice. Good. Might be something people can think about getting into. Let's quickly go through the chat. We've got, actually, before we go on to the chat, let's go to Thomas because he's been a bit quiet at the moment. So let's put him on. So, Thomas, how did you get into technology, or why did you want to go and work for someone like Ken?
Well, it came across, actually, funny story, I wanted a motorbike, and my mom said no, completely, and said a PC's the alternative action. So I got one of them instead, and ever since, just interested in everything to do with it, so interested with it. And when it came to work experience, I wanted something to do with that, and kind like the Canny Clever shop, it's like the only proper computer shop and repair shop in our area. So I liked, that's what I wanted to pick for work experience. And then I just got my job from there after applying a few weeks after.
And more important question, is Ken a good boss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed he said proper computer shop.
Yes. I thought he was going to say the only one in the UK then for you, Ken. I thought he was going to do one hell of a bit of advertising for you there. But, so.
He did say earlier that working with Prince is lush.
Well, if you can hear snoring at the minute, it's not actually me. It's actually Prince. He's under the table here.
Aww.
And if anyone's unaware who Prince is, it's his dog who's under the under the table, who goes in the store and helps out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, well, that's good at least Thomas, what's your aims in the future? Do you have any aims in the future? Do you want to like take over from Ken when he's probably in a couple of years when he's retired, or have you got have you got other things in sight, or are you not
Ken's
sure yet?
Reaction.
Yeah, definitely something to do with IT. Ken mentioned apprenticeships. I'd be interested in something like that. Maybe one particular interest in is like DS, like online security. I don't know how to word it properly. Just something in that type of field. Yeah, that's what I'm interested in.
So what you mean, like cybersecurity sort of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So that sounds pretty good. There's definitely lots of stuff out there for it. There's a lot of people going for those type of jobs as well. So, but regarding your mum, you should have got around her by getting yourself a motorbike PC, actually getting a motorbike and building a PC into it. You could have had two in one there and got around it. But
Richard Overfield says that Thomas's job is safe. So,
for the time being, for the time being,
for the time being,
I think one of the good things, I mean, for Thomas and the others, because we deal with not just retail, but we've got the business to business side as well, the regular IT support, we do deal with cyber security, we do deal with information security, we deal with break fix, help desk, all the other usual stuff. So, it gives you an all round idea of what is in the sector. So you can decide what you want to specialize in. You can make that sort of choice based on real world experience at that point.
Yeah, I suppose if obviously someone Thomas's age came into, for example, your business and you've got all those different avenues, you can sort of have a rough idea. Yeah, I want to get into tech, but I don't know what. You're sort of covering multiple different bases, and you can obviously then specialize from there. So definitely good.
And if he goes to TechMax, then he can talk to many people about cybersecurity and many other aspects of the computer.
Well, if you speak to Thomas about trade events, he went to the Target one last. That was his first ever trade event.
I thought I'd seen him.
And I think he liked it, I hope. He did make comment on the quality of some of the merchandise that he got. We were sorting through the stuff that was in the office from the previous TechMax show, and he thinks the TechMax merchandise was better than the other merchandise that he's seen. So he's,
well, of course it was.
Of course,
it was
TechMax.
But yeah. Well, to be honest, over the years, some of the freebies we've seen, I've mentioned this before, but the one I always remember was a certain company which was red and had a dog as a mascot, and now they're yellow, shall we say.
Oh.
They used to give out loads of cups, and the handles kept falling off the cups when you were using them. So they just turned around and says, oh, they're just for display purposes, don't use them.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. I was sitting there one morning in Chip's computers, and I just made a brew, as you do for top of the morning. You get the kettle on. And I went to pick up the cup off of the desk, and the only thing I picked up was the handle.
Yeah.
It was just a handle in my hand. I said, Bill, what's wrong with this picture? And he looks, he says, what are you doing? I said, well, I was going to drink this tea here that I made. I said, but thank goodness it didn't, you know, drop into my lap.
Yeah,
I mean, that could have been a burn disaster. But, I think after the handle started falling off, they decided to call it decoration.
That's it. So I think it's one of those things is obviously these places obviously have to get hundreds of thousands of things printed out or made or whatever for these events, and sometimes they're not always the best quality. Sometimes they're spending more on all the free stuff than they are actually attending the event. But
we went to so many trade events in one cluster one go. Everybody was handed out mugs. I had to eventually forbid Phil to bring home another mug, because I couldn't get our very own glasses and mugs in our cabinet for this heaving supply of different name brands of mugs. I gave most of them to the charity shop, I do believe. I had to get rid of them.
Well, if they were the red ones, they just fell to pieces, so we didn't have to worry about
them. Have to worry about those.
Right, let's get on to chat and not get too sidetracked now. All right, okay, so Blue Ball's got a question. So how does safeguarding work, especially with those still in school work experience? How does safeguarding work, especially?
Are you talking about insurance, Blue Ball?
I think he's talking about, I mean, he's got another comment there as well. Safeguarding when it comes to making sure the kids are safe. I say kids. We obviously have rules in place. We've got CCTV all over the place anyway, but we are DBS checked. We've registered with an organisation who does our checks for us. You don't legally need to do a DBS check, I think, as long as there's more than one person present. I'm sure Kelly can fill that gap in. But we do just as a matter of course anyway, because we're going to schools and things. So we do anyway, just to make sure. And I think that just about, as far as safeguarding goes, I mean, when it comes to taking photos and putting them online, we get a disclaimer off the parents. I think that's just about the bulk of it.
Yeah, really, you've covered it all there, Ken. If you ever came across a safeguarding problem, whatever training provider you use should have a safeguarding team. I can only speak on behalf of us at the college. We have a full team that if there was any ever issue that you thought that there could have been, you pass that straight to ourselves and we'll take that on board and we investigate that. So it's kind of just keeping an eye out, really, whether it be good or bad, whether it's something happened within the workplace or outside of work, then you should have that team behind you that you just need that one person within your company who's kind of going to be that one who's going to contact us and let us know.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would add to that, I mean, we actually, and I'm sure Thomas has had this speech as well, it's in the company handbook. If there's anything they think is wrong, they can come direct to myself. They don't have to speak to anybody else. If they don't want to talk to me about it, or if they think I'm bullying them or whatever, then they have access to the number for the college to get through to their team directly. So they can bypass me if they think I'm the problem, for instance. They can go direct. And I mean, I would hope anybody in the company could speak to us, but there's always somebody who might be awkward. You never know. You know, somebody might feel awkward about talking to you. So somebody outside of the whole company can sometimes provide a bit of perspective.
Okay. Sounds pretty good there. I think that definitely covers that one. Hopefully that's covered your question there, Blue Bolt. Obviously, if not, comment and... I'll bring that back up in a few minutes. Richard Overfield saying, it's great to give youngsters their first break. It's a real confident boost for them. One of my ex-Saturday staff is the laptop PM at Zeus, one in IT at Disney, and a product manager at Google, etc. Well, that sounds pretty good, Richard. It sounds like you know someone everywhere at the moment. So it's good that you've obviously started somewhere with yourself. Yeah. Well, one question I've got regarding this is obviously the world has changed a lot in the last 20 years with technology and so forth. And it's been said a lot of times that the younger generations don't communicate as well with real people, shall we say, rather than technology and so forth. Have you found that yourself, Ken and Kelly?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think probably myself, I think I've moaned at Kelly about this before, probably when I've been talking about people within my own company, especially the younger ones, trying to prise them away from a phone is an absolute nightmare. And I mean, we went through a period where we had a strict no phones policy. They were put in the desk drawer and they didn't come out until home time. But then Microsoft decided that two-factor authentication was a thing. Microsoft Authenticator app. And the only logical way to do it was to let them put it on the phones. Otherwise, I'd have to buy however many iPhones with contracts and everything else. So that's gone out the window. So now I think... we do allow a certain amount of phone use, but when it becomes a problem in the workplace, I think I'm sure Thomas will be able to tell you this, but I seem to have a look apparently when I look at somebody. I don't even have to say the words, put your phone down. You know, you're going a little bit far now. So I think people just put the phone down at that point.
You have that parent look is what it is.
Yeah, teacher. that stern teacher look where it's sort of like,
You know, that's the one that my mom used to give us when we'd be out and about. And you didn't have to question what you were doing. You just knew when she gave you that look to just freeze whatever you were doing. Don't try and figure it out. Just sit down and just shut up.
It's funny you say that. I mean, I visit schools once in a while, and apparently I'm welcome at most schools because I've got this uncanny knack of walking into a disruptive classroom and everybody just goes silent. I don't know why. It's kind of everybody sits down and just behaves. And I genuinely don't know why, because I mean, I don't yell at anybody normally.
I'm sure that Thomas is familiar with assembly time and everything, and how rowdy it can get in there, and everybody talking at the same time. Well, the principal would stroll across the stage. May I have your attention? We're still swinging from the rafters. My math teacher got up on the top step of the stage and just held his hand up like this, and everybody whipped around and just left silent. And he's like, go ahead and talk. They're listening now.
That's it. Just to clarify what William was saying earlier on regarding STEM, he says exactly that, science, technology, engineering and maths. It's a UK initiative to get students interested in traditional trades. Most schools, universities, etc. run a STEM careers event each year. So I think that was in reply what he said earlier on. Let's quickly just go through. Yeah, Richard was saying great responses. Thomas, I think your job is fine. William saying... it's buy one, get one free if you've got the cup, and then it turns into a bowl. Yeah, two-in-one cup bowl there from the company with the dog, shall we say. And William says it's a feature, not a design flaw. But, yeah, definitely there. So, okay, so let's have a look. So we've got about 10 minutes left, guys. So if there's anyone else who's got any questions for Kelly, I'll put her details back on the screen in a second as well. So if you've got any questions for Kelly, if you want to ask now, feel free. Obviously, if you want to get in touch with her, her email address is coming on the screen any second when my button decides to work. It's not deciding to at the moment. Here we go. So you've got Kelly's details there. So it's... basically, you've got her email address, you've got the company name and so forth. So if you want to get in touch with her, feel free. I'll put it in the show notes. So if you are listening to this, you'll be able to find it in the show notes as well. So, Kelly, have you got anything else you would like to add into this conversation about getting new blood into IT?
I think it's basically just, yes, we offer a certain amount of qualifications, but... I don't know whether people think, so when apprenticeships were, you know, years and years ago, you used to, you know, make cups of tea and sweep floors, and they were the kind of things that you used to do. Whereas now, although, for instance, you might be doing an ICT level 3, everything is taught around the company that you work for or the learners in. So everything based on their portfolio is about you and your business. It's not just, you know, textbook, and they're not going to learn anything that they're not doing in their day-to-day job. Everything is based around you, your business, what you do day-to-day, what clients you work with, what events and what shows you go to. And all that is documented at the end, and that's how they pass their qualification. And it's kind of molding that person into your business and giving them, they become an asset to the team, really, regardless of what you're teaching them or what you offer. There is also different routes as well to each qualification. And there's a couple of assessors that we work with. Ken, you know Darren quite well. And Darren will make sure that if there's a certain part of the qualification that you don't offer, he will actually do that within the college to make sure that student passes or that employee passes. You know, it doesn't matter. There is also means and ways about it.
I think there's been instances where other employers who have got people doing the same qualification as us who don't get so much hands-on experience because we get a lot of hands-on. So I think some of your people have came into our place for a week and brushed up on skills, which we don't mind. You know, we're happy to support that kind of thing. But I think the other thing that apprentices or apprenticeships can do And I know Kelly's looking to help her with this one as well. We're busy recruiting a manager or trying to, but finding the right person is difficult at the best of times. But I think we're aiming to upskill them. So while we're getting a certain level of person in, we want to develop them further. So it doesn't matter if they're 40-odd years old and they come in, they can still take on another apprenticeship, whether it's a technical one or whether it's a more business-minded one or a sales-based one. That's something that we're busy talking about at the minute. So, you know.
I agree with what Facebook user just said. I wish apprenticeships, I'll get it right in a minute, in IT were around when I was younger. Yeah, I concur.
I think we were talking pre-show, and I think nearest thing to that when I was, it was like a college course, which was like 4 weeks, and the machines we were working on were 10 years old, and most of them had got missing parts, and they didn't actually even turn on. It was like, right, now you put it together, you just pretend it turns on. It was like...
I didn't even have that. I just went to clerical school, learned how to do software programs, which are obsolete now. There was Lotus 1-2-3, there was DBase, there was WordPerfect, and things like that. And none of that, which Thomas was probably shaking his head going, what is she talking about? You know, it's it's totally out the window now. I learned DOS, which he will probably have heard of, and all of that. But just learning how to fix my computer. My computer broke down. I opened it up. That's what you do. That's the first thing you do. It's like a car. The first thing you do, you open the bonnet. You may not have a foggiest idea what you're looking at, but the first thing you do is you open the bonnet and you look around. That's what I did with my computer. And yeah, it was something simple. A cable had come loose. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, it never hurts. It's could start you off with a career in computers, just decent troubleshooting.
That's it. Right, question for Thomas now. So, Thomas, from your point of view, why should us old people employ younger people like yourself?
Well, like Ken and Kelly were saying earlier, it provides a new perspective. And I think, just new people in general know more about TikTok, Instagram, you know, YouTube. Well, it's all YouTube short or short film content now. I don't know if you've seen Ken's TikToks, but all the ones of me getting embarrassed tend to get more views than his regular TikToks, which most of them were my idea. But yeah, it just adds better new perspectives on stuff like that.
I think Thomas is about to be promoted to TikTok manager. I think some of the comments on the one that he did initially for, he was a bit nervous, and some of the comments were along the lines of, I think the cameraman's holding him at gunpoint, or I think he's been held hostage, blink twice if you need help. You can imagine. I mean, obviously, go and have a look at some point, but and it was all just to promote a gaming desk and a gaming chair bundle. Believe it or not.
That's all right.
So I think sometimes, especially with this short form content, like obviously TikTok, YouTube shorts and stuff like that, is it's a lot less informal than traditional marketing. So sometimes just going like you would traditionally do stuff, it's like when we do product reviews, if you just convert that into a short or whatever, it just doesn't work. You've got to completely create it as stuff. And sometimes making it look more professional makes it look worse, because everyone, if you watch everything on TikTok, it's someone holding a mobile phone, it's shaky, they're turning it around, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing professional about it in most cases. And I think it just works for the platform better. Quick, short, and I think the younger generations are probably a lot better using that sort of things than some of us who didn't grow up even with phones. I'm going to say a phone for us was something we had to go home and go 1, 2, 3 and so forth in some cases. So I think I was, 20 when I first got my first mobile phone. So it looks like Ken's going to get his a brick of a phone or something. I don't know.
You know, I think the YouTube and TikTok shorts are they work if you do them in a clever way. A rotary phone is what he's got.
Yeah,
and it works.
Like, and here's a for instance. How many times have you been sitting there on the sofa and you watch the BBC and they flash up Fools and Horses, Del Boy falls down the bar. You know what the whole episode is about. But that one part where he falls down the bar and you're sitting there howling. And things like that, I think, work best on TikTok and YouTube. Something that's going to make someone laugh and remember I saw that. That was a Canny Clever ad or something like that.
Yeah. It's usually shorter, cleverer stuff or less informal. It tends to be the way. So William saying, bloody hell, Ken, that looks like the Commissioner Gordon phone from Black Batman or something.
Believe it or not, it does actually work. I do have a phone number here in the house. It's connected to an ATA, which is connected to the internet. So people ring it, and it rings like it's supposed to ring. I can actually dial out on it as well. Mind, it takes a while. So
it takes a while going.
Yeah, I don't make many outgoing calls, but I think the point is that's the phone.
That
I grew up with as a kid, and back then, this plug used to be hardwired. It was screwed into the wall. You know, you couldn't move it. It was attached to the wall. So kids now don't know, they're born with them cordless phones and smartphones.
My mom had a streamlined yellow rotary phone that hung on the kitchen wall. Now, if you wanted privacy back then, Thomas, and you wanted to talk to your companion, you had to stretch the telephone cord all the way from the kitchen to your parents' bedroom, which was a good, I'd say 5 meters away. And pray that you could shut their bedroom door. And then you slid down the door and leaned against it so they couldn't open it up. And you were able to sit and talk sweet nothings to your significant other until your dad said, "Why is the phone cord being stretched?"
Or without your knowledge, that on the second house phone, if you were lucky enough to have one, someone was listening to the whole conversation.
We probably didn't have two
brother or sister or even parents, but yeah. No. Anyway, I'm just looking at the time. We're pushing past that limit. Let's quickly go for a chat. Any last bits? Let's have a look. William was saying he gets a lot of CVs sent to us without advertising. What do you look for in a CV that makes you interested in a candidate? Oh, that's a good question. What makes CVs stand out for you guys?
For me. For me, it's not one that's been manufactured by a college. And I know Kelly's team doesn't do that, but there is another apprenticeship provider that has approached us. They sent us a pile of CVs unannounced, and you can tell they are not written by the person who initially handed them in. They've been fixed up, if you like, with keywords put in. And I mean, we had somebody in for one of the job interviews, and I showed him the CV, and he says, "That's not mine." And it's got his name on the top. So I think that the things I look for is honesty. I know from the younger people, especially Thomas's age, 16, 17, 18, there isn't going to be a lot of work experience. So it's a case of what they say about themselves in the first couple of lines is what I look at.
Okay. Definitely good points there. What about yourself, Kelly? What's your point of view on this one?
I think for me, mentioned that he's not advertised. So if that person has directly sent you the CV, first of all, they've got an interest within your business. So me, personally, I'm not very good at writing about myself, but I would sit and talk all day long. I'd be hands-on. So if it was me and I was in your situation, I would actually invite that person in. If you had a space within your company, invite them in. They've taken an interest. They've given you a CV. If it is a younger person and there is absolutely nothing on, but you can tell that they've actually given it a go, they could be totally different to what it says on their CV. And I always say, if you do have a CV that matches, or you like the idea of somebody's CV, you've just got to meet the person. If you do have scope within the business, if you don't, just give them that contact back. Thank you very much, you know, for sending it over. But at the moment, I don't have, you know, room for you to be in my company, but I'll keep you in mind if I do. But CVs, I don't know. I think with apprenticeships, they've changed so much, and TikTok and our generation have grown, but everyone still expects to have a CV. I just think that's quite dated, personally. I just don't think you can read somebody off a CV anymore these days, because they'd be totally different in person.
Yeah.
I always got kind of irritated when a woman would bring in a CV in my shop on behalf of her son.
Yes.
And I said, you know, and I'd hand it right back to her. I'd say, look, no offense, but if he's interested, he needs to come in here and talk to me himself. Because, you know, it's all good and well you're coming up here anyway to get your computer and handing it in for him. But I had rather meet him, talk to him, discuss with him what makes him interested in this. Not just, oh, son, you've got to pay for this repair. You better hand in a CV. You know, things like that. That just annoyed me to no end for a mother or to call on behalf. That really annoyed me. My son's looking for work. Do you have a place for him? Nope, sorry.
And I mean, when we were going through the summer, anybody who works in the business at the minute will tell you I was pulling my hair out. When the schools gave all the relevant dates for work experience, I had a queue of parents pushing because they wanted their kids to work in our shop. And that's why we took the actual, it was a hard choice, but we decided to meet all of them one by one with the parents. And, you know, it became quite obvious. I think we discounted about half of them straight away because the kids weren't interested. It was pushy parents who were trying to push the agenda because they thought their kid would have a good career in IT. The kid wasn't interested in most cases. So, you know.
And all that's going to be for you is to train them up. Once you've trained them, they're going to leave, and it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
So,
and as far as we kind of advertise our roles now, it's not a job, it's a career. You know, it's the start of your career. We want to get that person who wants to stay for the long term. You know, we don't want short term.
That's it. Yeah, if I was anyone was looking for a job and we were definitely hiring or whatever, I want to speak to them in this day and age for the prime reason what Facebook user, again, sorry, Facebook user, you haven't put your name on there, but they're saying it's easy to create a Word perfect, and as in not the program Word perfect from years ago, but a Word perfect CV, as in everything spelled out correctly and so forth, with things like ChatGPT and so forth, because it can basically write it all for you, put it in a certain tone. You can tell it to put keywords in, like with technology, to make it sound good. You just don't know who you're talking to. So, Craig, I think that is, just responded there. Thank you, Craig.
Though, it's good in some senses, because if you have someone like me who has difficulties in spelling, dyslexia, you know, you'll look at it and go, oh, that looks right. And you hand it to someone like my mother-in-law to check over it, and she'll be like, this needs to be corrected, this needs to be corrected, this needs to be corrected, because she was a proofreader in her day. And and thinking, good grief, and ChatGPT is great for things like that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Obviously, technology can be used either way, as everyone knows. It's good for some things. Use it for reference, maybe helping you improve things, but don't take it verbatim, because some of the things it comes out with sometimes are just not accurate or correct, and it gets things mixed up and so forth. So, using it for reference.
Some words mean different things, depending on the context that you use them in. So, ChatGPT does get a little confused in that.
And what country you're in as well, because if you're using international English or American English, then different words can mean completely different things.
Big words.
Right, guys, I think we're pretty much at the end tonight, so I'm going to stop it there. Just one last question. This one's for Kelly, and if there's anything else you want to add in as well. Are there any incentives, as in financial incentives, to get these kids, young adults, shall we say, into your business?
It totally depends on where you are within the UK. But at the moment, there is a service. Every single company has to have one if they're bringing on an apprentice or upskilling a member of staff. And it's a digital apprenticeship service account. So on the government website, you have to set yourself up with one of them. And if you take on a learner who is aged between 16 to 18, there is a £1,000 incentive, and £500 is paid roughly at 13 weeks and £500 at about a year's time. So you get like two incentive payments. Local authorities, we did have one, and I don't know whether you utilised it, Ken, but there is local authorities. Whether there's any funding left with them, definitely speak to them directly. Let them know your sector of your company, because if you specialise in IT, 9 times out of 10, if there is funding available, there's a significant amount for you to be able to claim.
Okay, sounds pretty good. Thank you very much for that. Ken, do you have any last final words?
Just a quick one, really. I think if you're applying for a job, if you're a young person applying for a job, don't do what some of the applicants to my place have done and use a really, really dodgy email address. Get rid of your old school email addresses, all the rest of it. Create a professional one. For job applications.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds pretty good. And Thomas, do you have any final words or anything nice you'd like to say about your boss so you still got a job tomorrow?
Nothing. All I want to say is if you're promoting us to a TikTok manager, I'm expecting a £100,000 raise.
Okay.
I come to that.
There we go.
I like you.
I don't know. And just to reply to, obviously, Blue Bolt, that says, there is exception is people with disability who have anxieties, et cetera, find it hard for initial interactions. Doesn't mean that they're not interested or not capable. Yeah, obviously, there's situations like that. There's a lot of situations where people don't have any issues, though, and I think the parents do like to push them. But, yeah, if someone's got a disability, obviously you need to inform the company of that anyway, so they can cater for it.
All I can say is you got to get the person to meet the person they want to work for. So you've got to arrange somehow, like, for a parent to come with them. Tell the employer in question why you're with them. You know, it's not that it's mama's boy, mama's girl kind of thing, that you're there for support. And I'm pretty sure most people will be understanding. But like I say, never just hand someone a resume or a CV, whatever you want to call it, and go, here's Johnny's resume, because that'll get you nowhere real quick.
Yeah. I'm going to say we employed someone who had social anxieties and quite a few different disabilities, didn't he?
Yeah.
And
but he came in and he talked to us. His dad stood in the background and he answered questions and everything. If he didn't know his dad, he'd look at his dad and his dad would explain what we wanted to know, and he would talk to us.
It actually ended up being the case where he was actually better with us than when his parents were around. He seemed to be able to do a lot more when his parents weren't around babying him sometimes.
Because he had to think for himself.
But when he actually fought for us, he was actually very, very good. He was, some of the stuff he'd do, I was actually surprised he could do.
We had him troubleshooting computers, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. He was wiping loads of hard drives and stuff.
He was.
Anyway. So we're slightly over. Thank you all for commenting. And yes, Thomas, I think you're in for a shock tomorrow. If Ken's paying $100,000, you're going to have a lot of competition. I think I might come round for the job, Ken, if you're paying $100,000, I'll tell you.
Ken, I'll be there tomorrow.
But yes, thank you, guys. So thank you to Kelly, Ken, Thomas for joining us tonight.
Yes.
Also, thank you guys for tuning in and watching us and wasting a couple of hours your evening. Listen us waffle on about you knows what. But hopefully you've got something out of this. I've put Kelly's details on the screen a few times. I'll just put them up quickly as well. So if you do want to get in touch with her, you can get in touch with her there. You can also, I'll put in the show notes for the podcast version. So you'll have her email address and everything there. So if you want to get in touch with her, and she might be able to help you out. Is there anything you'd like to add, Jen, before we call it a night?
No, I think just... Like I'm going to just say it again. If you haven't signed up for TechMax and you're a vendor or distributor, you need to get in touch with me. info@techfortex.co.uk gets you through to me, and I'll sign you up. If you are just someone that likes to walk around and have a good day out, we will get on to www.tftmax.com and get your tickets. It's only £1 to walk around for the day. If you're wanting evening tickets, well, then it's a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Are the evening tickets sold out?
There are a few. We're able to move things around. So there are some evening tickets left. Not many, though.
They're going fast, though.
If anyone is interested in exhibiting for any reason, and you're an exhibitor or you're an influencer or in media, marketing, anything along that lines, obviously get in touch. Our details are on the screen. Easy to get hold of. As I said, was today we've announced that we've got PCR online / magazine awards, whatever you want to call them, they're going to be covering, as well as Kit Guru as well, which obviously have a big social media following.
I've been following them for
years. So they'll be there, and they'll also be doing a talk as well about basically pricing and different things, what are going off and who's having what and so forth. But you can find more information on the website, and we'll send out more information later. But right, we'll call it a night. But before we do, I've got to leave you with this. So goodbye, everyone. Have a good evening.